This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Big Bird and Robert Siegel don't have that much in common, but the host of NPR's All Things Considered can now say he works for the same guy who used to be Big Bird's boss. Gary Nell took charge of NPR about a year and a half ago after 12 years as CEO of the Sesame Workshop. He was in town for a visit here at WUNC and agreed to talk with us for a while. Gary Nell, welcome.
Hey, Frank. It's great to be back in North Carolina.
It is great to have you here. You have been at NPR since 2011. Give us an idea. What was your vision when you took over?
Well, you know, I was always a fan. So I feel like I've traded in Big Bird for Nina Totenberg or something like that. But it was I've had a belief for a long time that television and radio are huge educators, that that's really where their power is. And certainly with Sesame Street and the power of the Muppets, which have now grown around the world and teaching kids how to read and write and health messages and everything else. This was a way, I think, of adult education. This is a way of bringing important, complex issues. And when NPR kind of ran into some buzzsaws a couple years ago, I was asked if I'd be interested in helping come over and try to right the ship, and I said yes. I think it's a tremendously important institution in America, with 270 stations, and places like North Carolina Public Radio are just making a huge difference.
We talk about Big Bird and you talk about Sesame Street. Those are iconic characters, and they really can't be replaced in a sense. So when we talk about multimedia and new media, which is now about 30 years old, I think, new media, but we're still talking about it these days and the impact that it's going to have on broadcasting and on journalism. Contrast that with these iconic characters. Sesame Street will always be Sesame Street, no matter what the delivery model, no matter what the platform, because we've come to know those characters. What about journalism? What about public radio, where the delivery, where the platforms are changing? Does it change how we do our business here in radio?
Well, it's a really good question. First of all, just on the kids question, I would argue, yes, Sesame Street is the same in some ways, but the competitive framework, Frank, for Sesame Street has radically altered since cable programming. And now you've got 6 24/7 preschool television channels every day on television. And for 20 years, Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood were the only two preschool shows on American television. And now there are some 60-plus shows on every single day. So it's a hugely competitive framework. And why this is relevant is because the show has had to keep up with the changing times and the changing habits of little consumers and parents who have grown up digitally. So it has changed. It is not the same show that existed 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I think on a parallel where we sit in the world of journalism, habits are changing. You know, we're not reading newspapers like we did. Virtually no one under the age of 30 is reading a paper newspaper every day. And I, as you know, for decades and decades did that. And I don't find myself doing that anymore, to my own surprise, because of the fire hose of information that we're faced with every day. And we need to come back, I think, and remind people of the value of journalism. This is one of the things public radio does. We're not the only ones who do it, but I think we're in a very important position to remind people that this is about trying to get at facts. It's trying to fact check those facts. It's editing, it's reporting, it's being out there to make sure that we are giving different sides to a story so people can make up their own minds. And that's very different, I think, from what we are seeing as, you know, on cable television and as newspapers are in a very tough economic condition today.
You say remind, but that suggests that we have a point of reference to go back to. If you're in high school today, you may not know that kind of – you may not ever have known that kind of journalism. What's the challenge there?
Well, huge. And when I go to college campuses or speak to young folks, we talk about the J word, journalism. And it's a word that I think people need to understand, the difference between opinion and reporting. There's a big difference. The lights are on in my room is a fact. It's not my opinion. And I think it's important that we tell people and remind them of the value of journalism and that it is trying to get at the truth And it is trying to report facts and let people make up their own minds. And that's just very different from how people are being, you know, conditioned today, again, with that fire hose coming from Twitter and Facebook and every other place.
So how do you do that?
Well, I think, you know, with younger people, if that's the question, we need to engage them around digital social media. We have an extremely active social media program. We've got 2.5 million Facebook followers now. We're all over Twitter. Scott Simon himself has 1.2 million Twitter followers. This is a really important way to reach people so that they can, through things like Reddit, be referenced by their friends about stories that have appeared on NPR that they should listen to learn something. Through NPR Music, I think we're bringing a lot of young people in. The average age of people who are digitally connecting to NPR Music is 28 years old. And that makes a big difference because once I think they come into the public radio family and discover what that's about, we can flip them, I think, somewhat into the news room of what we're trying to present to the American people and make them fans. And that's a big challenge. And I would view that as a goal of diversity in trying to get our average age down so that we're getting younger people into the demographic of public radio.
So one challenge, obviously, as you said, getting us on every platform and making sure that our voices are heard and seen in through all the media that are out there. The other challenge, of course, continues to be funding. And I got to ask you about this. There's a piece in The New Yorker about a public television executive in New York. You know the story. Effectively killed a documentary on the Koch brothers because he was worried about what one of the Koch brothers on his board might think of about this documentary. Do you worry about that kind of influence now in public broadcasting?
Well, I think, you know, this is not a new issue. It's been around for ever since public broadcasting has been invented. And I think this actually makes the case that we need as diverse a source of funds as we can possibly get. So you don't want to be dependent on a single or a couple of big donors, and you don't want to be dependent just on the government, and you don't want to be dependent on corporate America solely. I think having a diversity of funders is the best insulation from any perception of political influence, whether that happens or not. There are very strict firewalls, as you know, Frank, between management and the newsroom. And certainly in my experience, the people who fund programs, you know, are not influencing the editorial content of programs. And that's a firewall that we take very seriously at NPR. And I trust is taken seriously at all the stations out there.
How has the sort of the changes in media and digital media changed the relationship between NPR and its stations? I mean, NPR gets put together, a bunch of stations all over the country. They say, hey, let's pool our resources, put something in Washington so we can have a program come out of there and we can get ourselves a national program. That made sense when radio was the only, you know, sort of audio form of media. NPR can provide its own content and find its own way of getting the word out there. What does that mean about the relationship between NPR and its terrestrial stations around the country? Does it change?
Well, we think it's about transitioning to a mobile digital environment and to be platform agnostic. So if someone is a fan of WUNC and they're contributing to WUNC because of the FM signal, we want to make sure that they're contributing to WUNC through a digital platform that NPR can help create. And through bundling resources, we can create more mobile apps, as we're doing, where you can find different station streams. But part of the bargain here, or at least the deal that needs to be made, Frank, is local stations are going to need to step up and do local content. Because if you're simply, I think your question gets at, if you're simply a translator of a national feed, it becomes less relevant. You needed it when it was a terrestrial broadcasting system where there were parts of the country that were not being served. You don't need it in a broadband system where you have pretty much universal coverage. Not everywhere, but pretty much universal coverage. But what you do need to have is a local content platform that is going to cover the news of the state of North Carolina, let's say, that NPR cannot get into in depth out of Washington. We can cover the globe, we can cover Syria, and we can cover Brazil, and we can cover the Supreme Court, but we can't really dig into the politics of what's happening in the State House in Raleigh, which has to be done by reporters at WUNC. And it's that value proposition, actually, that ironically, I think digital is going to make more important rather than less.
Because it fills in a void that is left by the collapse of newspapers. So actually, if local stations put more of their resources into local programming, that marketing is opening up, is what you're suggesting.
Well, exactly. So Southern California Public Radio is about to hire its 100th person in the newsroom, 100 people at Southern California Public Radio, as an example. And the former editor of the LA Times is running their newsroom. These are becoming news hubs now for communities as newspapers have stumbled a lot due to their economic model and things like Craigslist sort of wrecking their classified advertising business model. Now we have an opportunity, I think, in public radio to, you know, take advantage, quote unquote, of an opening and try to fill the gap that's being created and is absolutely necessary to promote and inform citizenry in all of these cities across America.
Listen local. I love it. Gary Nell, thank you so much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Frank. Really appreciate it. Great show.
Gary Nell, president and CEO of NPR. The State of Things continues in a moment. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.